Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julian as Christine's coffin. We're keeping it real here, everyone. So here we are. We're your mother-daughter team on a Sunday night during football season. So
yay.
And if you're listening to this as a podcast, thank you. Keep walking.
Yes.
It's a great time to walk for an hour. And we like to
Or put your feet up and have a cup of tea.
Either way.
Yeah.
What we like to do is have some fun during this hour.
You bet. I picture somebody by the fireplace, their feet up on the ottoman, mm-hmm. Having a cup of tea with a smile on their face. Like, it's the girlfriends.
Exactly.
My hour or 55 minutes with the girlfriends.
For sure. You know, you're a psychotherapist, I'm a teacher, and what we do is we take... You know, we're both coaches.
Yes.
We've got certifications, a lot of different things.
A lot.
It kind of
certifiable.
Exactly. And what we want to do on Sunday nights is just have fun. Talk about the week a little bit. Mm-hmm. Talk about what we've learned from our dog, Elliot, and how to improve our lives. And finally...
I'd like to call it fun with nuggets.
There you go. Fun with nuggets, for sure. And sometimes I call it McNuggets.
McNuggets.
Fun with McNuggets, because I do like the honey mustard sauce. I just want to buy that. I just want to go and...
Yeah, damn it.
Can I buy the...
Why do we have to buy the chicken when really the chicken is just the delivery system for the honey mustard
sauce?
That's
exactly right, for sure. And so today we're going to talk about three things, or quite a few things, actually. We're going to talk about our minimalist challenge that we've been doing.
Yes.
And that's, we've taken the month of September. We start like September 10th,
Yeah,
actually.
We really didn't start on the 1st, exactly.
No. And... We're doing this minimalist challenge, and we're gonna challenge you guys starting November 1st. But we're kind of working out the kinks right now,
right.
And it's about getting rid of clutter every single day, and what types of clutter,
yes.
And the emotions that come up during that. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna talk about that in the beginning, and then also we're gonna talk about clearing the clutter during our pillar talk, where we talk about specifically concrete things we can do to improve our lives
and what clearing the clutter. What it does for the soul.
Yes.
And what it does for your psyche, your soul, and your physical state.
For sure. Exactly. And so, and in the middle of all of that, we have a little session called Elliot's Corner, where we talk about what we learned from our dog, Elliot, this week, and how we've had to... You can always learn everything you need to know from your dog, really.
100%.
We're going to talk about him.
Because, you know, he's become a little food stealer.
Yes, he has. And then finally... In the beginning part, we always have a little bit of a movie review. And sometimes they're recent, and sometimes they're not so recent. And that's actually our niche, reviewing not-so-recent movie reviews.
Yes, that's our niche. But who else does that?
Yeah, and who can master that?
Yes.
And this week, though, we got some more recent reviews. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a fun time. So here we go. Let's just get started with the Minimalist Challenge, girlfriend. Here's how it began. We're saying, okay, we set a date, and for 30 days, we were going to clear one item one day.
Yes.
Day two, two items. Day three items.
Right.
All the way to day 30, 30 items.
Yes.
And we...
So by the time you're at day 30, you're
You've got a lot cleaned out.
You've got a lot cleared up, yes.
And it's funny because the emotions that have come up during this has mm-hmm. been pretty powerful. Some emotions have been... I've spent money on crap I didn't need.
That's the thing that
has
for me,
you.
That's the big thing.
Yeah.
I look at the stuff and I went, crap, crap, crap. And I just see it as money that could have been in my bank account.
Right. And it's painful because
it's really painful.
There's that saying right now.
Because there's that point when you bought it that, you know, I don't, in general, like I know people and I have throughout my life that, buy, I think, to raise their
emotional state.
Yeah. They either feel depressed or anxious,
right.
But buying something stops that
right
for a while, and
right.
then you have to, like, we know someone who does that with cars.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, he goes through at least, I don't know, he's probably gone through 8 or 9 cars since I've known him.
Right.
And he just bought a new one this week, or
yeah.
a newer one, you know.
A newer one, right. It's like every other year it seems like he's getting a different car.
I would say yes, and maybe sooner than
every year, maybe, yeah.
yeah. yeah.
In the rotation of him and his wife. It
right.
feels like that, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, yes.
No, I mean, that's kind of, people buy, and it does, the endorphins that get released
yes.
when purchasing is pretty awesome.
Yes.
It's funny, though, because... I've been selling some extras equipment that I've no longer used,
right,
you know?
Right.
Like, we had a Pilates machine that just didn't get used very often. By me, really.
Except by our dog.
Exactly. And then we got a Total Gym, which we used. I'm like, well, they're the same thing, kind of. Let's get rid of the Pilates machine,
right,
which we paid good money for.
Oh, yeah.
And literally, I gave it away.
Yeah.
To somebody who really wants it,
yeah,
but wasn't willing to pay a dime for it.
Right.
But in the process.
And we had it on
Garage
Sale.
Garage Sale app. I had it here. I had it in the paper.
Right.
And finally, I'm just like, what in the world?
I know we were at the dog park this week, and I was wondering, because you were having this long conversation,
right,
with this guy,
fellow dog owner,
and it wasn't in the actual park. It was
owner of Mindy, by the way.
Mindy, yes. and I for the life of me, I kept thinking, what are they talking about?
Right.
That is taking so long.
Right.
That is so animated, and then finally, when the conversation was over with, I asked you, and you said, he sells exercise equipment online, and he's bitching because, you know,
this one exercise equipment for like $1,800.
It's probably
a Total Gym of some, like a not one like more like,
like
both,
a universal,
yeah,
thing.
You know, with weights and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he first put it online in the paper for $800,
right?
And people would call up and like say, "Well, I'll get you $200 for it, $300 mm-hmm. for it." Mm-hmm. He's like, "No, this is a good, like in pristine condition. I just literally this year paid $1,600 for this piece of equipment," and it was funny. And I said, "I understand. Exercise equipment is just not selling for top market." I was on Virage Sale, and I just found it interesting that there were four or five people selling these ab cruncher things for like $5. Some mm-hmm. were $10. Mm-hmm. And I know they probably paid $100 for them.
Sure, sure.
They all look like in pristine condition.
Right.
Yeah. You know? And I don't know what happens, but when it gets to the house, I think you don't see the results you want.
Right.
And
I think mostly it becomes like a thing in the room.
Yes.
That you're like, what do I do with this now?
Right. What do I do with this?
Like, we have an ab cruncher or an ab doer.
Yes.
But it ends up holding clothes.
Right. And it's extra seating.
Yes.
And we've talked about getting rid of it. And you're like,
no, it holds our clothes.
It holds your clothes.
Yeah. And what am I going to do? You lay out your clothes for the next day.
If I have it, you know. And I look in your bedroom right now. You got a big bedroom. And here we are, and you're like, we're on the radio, and I see your recumbent bike and your ab doer, and you know,
all the weights.
You could live in a tiny home, girlfriend.
I could.
Because your bedroom is as big as those tiny homes.
Yes, yes, yes.
And so forth. But it's been interesting because you do feel betrayed in some sense that you pay good money for stuff.
Right.
And then in the secondary market, if you wanted to get rid of it, not too well.
And that's one of the things that we're learning in our own personal minimalist challenge is the psychology of the fact that, okay, the day one was easy. And one of the things that we're doing is we're actually getting rid of stuff, like going to trash.
Right.
We're donating stuff. We have Leidiger Center, which
is Mona.
Mona. And so we donate to that. And then we have decided to store some things that we want to keep but we don't use in the house. And then we have decided to sell.
Right. Well, and it's interesting. So you have, I remember Abraham Hicks has this process called clearing the clutter. And you have five different bags or boxes. And one is keep box, one is throw away box, one is donate box, one is sell box. And I guess a store box, or can be a keep box as well. I guess only four boxes. And you're supposed to not touch it more than once.
Right.
So you grab it, you decide right then and there to do it. And if you keep it, that's fine. Keep a track of what goes in that box that you're keeping, which we have not done. But
no,
that's okay.
No, we haven't.
But what's interesting,
we'll have to touch it again.
Yeah, and I've had to engage Dad about this because he wants to keep a lot of stuff. And I said,
he's
when's the
biggest
last time
hoarder.
You want to?
Yeah.
He goes, this is where I pay a lot of money for this. I may need this again. I don't want to. I'm like, okay. And then I keep thinking to myself, I know Dad wants to go to San Diego.
Yeah.
I know he wants to pick up and travel for the winter in San Diego.
Yes.
And I'm like, what are you going to do then, Dad?
Yeah. Well, he's such a hoarder, and it really It takes away my enthusiasm for life.
Right, right.
It really does. Like, I was in the van the other day, and he had this navy blue pillow.
Uh-huh.
And I go, you know, this is actually, this pillow has come in handy a couple times. Yeah. I go, I don't remember when we bought this. It was a big kind of a cushiony pillow. And he goes, he gets this, like, little crappy smile on his face. Yeah. And he goes, well, I saw this fall off a truck, this pillow. And it landed on the side of the road.
Yeah.
He goes, and I go, oh, no, are you telling me? And you pulled over and picked it up. He goes, no. I go, well, how did it get here then?
Yeah.
He goes, I kept my eye on it for 3 days. And because I figured if the guy had wanted it,
he would have
come back in 3 days. And he said, and there was no rain.
Oh, so three criteria. Two criteria.
Exactly.
If the guy came, well, it was like a three criteria.
Right.
3 day pickup. It's like that rule of the 10-second rule on the
right,
floor.
Right, which if it falls no the longer floor, applies. Yeah, right.
Yeah, which no longer applies. Thank you, bacteria.
Yeah.
They said it can come on just like with 1 second.
Quick, yeah.
Which obviously we were just fooling ourselves. You know, basically our rule is that if the dog gets to before we do, then it's screwed.
Yeah.
And that little Elliot's pretty
fat.
Are
we just, if the dog drinks out of your glass and you don't know it, it's okay.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it's okay. For sure. For sure. So it's been a difficult...
But we have the three criteria.
Yeah, go for it. Tell me again.
Well, it's like for 3 days.
Yep.
And then if it doesn't rain and nobody comes back to pick it up.
And that was his criteria. That's not my criteria. But I like how he has his own morals code. Pulling over at the moment would have been stealing.
Right.
Because the guy, it just fell the truck.
Right.
You know.
Right.
It could have been just stealing. But no. If it, you know, if it was there for 3 days and I picked it up.
And it didn't rain.
And it didn't rain. It's mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember one time, Dad picked up, we were at the river.
Oh, my God. It was so humiliating. That was like one of my most humiliating moments. We were at the river.
Yeah.
And there's some conservation dudes there. And they're, you know, they're kind of, Norm looks like a normal person.
Right.
And he sees a piece of styrofoam floating down the river, you know, like that. And so he walks down to the river and he fishes it out. The conservation guys go, dude, you know.
They've taken care of that.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate that. And he goes, praise God. This is a blessing from God. I needed this piece of styrofoam. And the guy's like,
holy cow.
Yeah, right away they went, uh-oh.
Oh.
And they had that look on their face like, back up.
Yeah, back up.
Back up, people. You don't want to engage in this. And I was like, it was like so humiliating.
Right. That, but, I mean, it'd be different if he was a conservationist, but the fact, and went out there to decay, like, who would throw trash in the river?
Who would throw styrofoam?
This could hurt a
fish.
Or a living, or a duck, or whatever.
Yes, exactly.
And sorry, everyone, for our dog barking in the background. Who knows what's going on?
Yes.
We're going real here, people, real here. And so, yeah, Dad, gotta love him. I'm just choosing to say that and reinforcing it, because your words are so powerful, right?
Yes,
and
true.
I gotta love Dad.
Yeah. So anyway, this week we've put several things up on eBay, which we hadn't done in a long time, but it was so much fun to start. I think we made a couple hundred bucks.
We did.
On eBay.
And some of them I have up there now have not been moving as quickly as the other stuff.
No, but they will.
Right.
Eventually.
And it's funny because the mind games it plays, because a couple items I put on and instantly.
Right, instantly.
They sold.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself,
this is great.
And did I put it on too cheaply?
Right, right.
Or whatever. And then you just got to let it all go.
Yeah.
You have to let it all go, surrender to the
process. Because it would still be collecting energy. I mean, it just would be taking up space here.
Well, we're going to talk about that at the end of our show.
Sure.
During Pillar Talk about the energy this stuff takes.
Right.
And it's funny because we are getting rid of a lot of stuff, and yet we're keeping stuff too.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's
going to
take.
We went to Leidiger Center yesterday. Yeah. And we with a whole, you know, van full of stuff to donate on the way to, and we stopped off at Mona's and
because the way it works is that we asked Mona first. I go, we're going to Leidiger Center. What do you want from this amount? And she goes, I want this and this. I'm like, awesome.
Yeah.
And Mona's our woman that comes on Sunday mornings to clean the house. And she's my motivator because I clean it with her because she's only here for 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And during those 3 hours, we kick butt.
You guys do.
You know, this house gets vamped. You know, it's like boom. I'm not sure if that's the right word to use, but yeah, it works out well. She's our motivator, but also if I'm clearing the clutter and getting rid of stuff, she's like, oh, you want a light extender for that? Oh, I'll take that. And so it finally, I just tell her, I'm going to Light Center. Do you want any of this stuff? And she'll say yes. And it's funny, though, because there have been things I've been wanting to sell, and those things she wants,
I
too.
I know. She took our Xbox.
Yeah, and I feel okay with it.
Yeah, like, we're okay.
Except sometimes she'll be like, oh, I'll work this off for you. And I'm just like,
never happens.
And never, because then you feel, who wants to work for nothing after you've already given him something?
Yeah, exactly. It just doesn't psychologically work.
It doesn't. You know, I give it with grace. Yes. Like, hey, get yours. Enjoy. Yes. You know, we had a really lovely futon bed. Yeah. And she's like, if you're going to get rid of this, I want first crack.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, well, I was going to sell it, but, you know, well, I'll buy it from you, but I'll work it off. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm just like, no, I can't do that. Have your son enjoy it. Enjoy. It's yours. Yeah, no problem.
Exactly.
But so as we're doing this process, we're, you know, we have different goals. You know, we have little goals.
There really are different goals. There's goals for the selling of the stuff.
Yes.
There's goals for the giving it away.
Yeah.
There's goals for the storing, which we've been doing.
Right. And it's funny because people are like, oh, you have a storage unit. And it's, I think
that's like my bugaboo.
It is.
I'm embarrassed by that.
Oh, I understand you are. Yeah. Because first off, we have a big enough base when we can put stuff in.
Yeah.
But we really were determined to get rid of this stuff and to clear this house off. And the way with the least amount of resistance.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Dad and I have 40 years of crap.
And it's not like you haven't gotten rid of stuff along the way.
No.
That's every weird part.
I know. It's that is the weirdest part.
It's almost like crap mates with other crap and it has crap babies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Baby crap. It's like baby crap everywhere.
And it is crap.
It is, and it's like not.
I mean, the trucking stuff.
That's an overwhelming process.
That's overwhelming. Like, I at one point I was just ready to cry because, like, how many half used bottles of antifreeze diesel treatment can one person have?
And then, you know, I just say, like, I can't throw it away. You can't throw it away because it'll go in the landfill. That's not where it's supposed to go. I'm like, well, then where does it go? What do we do with this stuff?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, the semi wheels that are, you know, worth $400 a piece, but we're not going to put them on our truck yet.
Right.
You know, it's just this ever ending.
I know, Jills.
And I just keep saying, hey, there will come a time when we're moving to San Diego and none of this stuff is staying. It's all going. I'm calling up, you know.
We're going to live in a tiny junk house.
Yeah, it's all going to the Light Center. All going wise on it.
Light Center going, yeah, my God.
The Peters. They're here. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Or Mona will go, I'll take it all.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'll deal with it. Just come put it in my garage. I'll take care of it
later.
She
would, too. She'd know how to do it.
Exactly. Exactly. So, girlfriend, what kind of movies have you seen this week?
I saw...
Before we do that, though, we've got a new theme song for our movie review.
Yes.
Oh, no. I got to back up a little bit.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Before we move on to the movie reviews, because I know people just enjoy that so much of our show, it's very informative for us to give it our down-to-earth movie reviews.
Right. How many people do that?
Yeah. I heard, though, this statistic about pain management that I need to share with everybody because I think it was so profound. And it has something to do with movies as well. So you know what?
Sure.
Let's play our new theme song right now, and we will talk about movies and pain management.
Whoa.
And our Sherpa hat reviews.
I bet that's never been done before.
I don't know.
Let's go. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies. Let's all go to the movies and see how many Sherpa hats there are. You know what I mean.
Okay, so if you haven't figured out by now, that's Mama singing her theme song for our movie review.
Thank you, Julie.
She's given up on me finding one on YouTube. And
finally did.
And you just said, I'll just sing one now.
Yeah.
Listening to the voice all week long.
Yes, yes, yes.
Giving you inspiration. Okay, so let me just go really quick to my study on movies and pain management.
Okay.
So what they did, it was, I was listening to Sirius Radio in Doug's car, and we had on the BBC, and it was Science Hour.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Science Hour, they were talking about pain management, and how movies improve the threshold of pain. Like, you can handle more pain. Mm-hmm. And the way they decide what pain is that they make you do the chair against the wall. You know how you, like, do your exercises?
Oh.
And you do the, you sit, you oh, yeah, pretend yeah. you're in a chair
yeah.
against the wall.
Yeah.
And they measure you on how long you can do it. And then they make you watch a movie, either a comedy or a drama, stuff like that, documentary, and then they make you do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they count and they see how long you can do it longer or shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Because the reason why you stop doing it is not muscle fatigue, but the pain. It's, if you didn't have the pain, mm-hmm. you wouldn't know muscle fatigue and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So what they realize that it's obvious that with comedy, you feel less pain. And so I think it was either 13 or 30% difference in the time. It, like, you did it once, you saw a comedy,
wow.
and you could do the chair thing.
Yeah.
13%, I think it was 33% longer.
Wow.
What they were fascinated with was the fact that when you saw a drama or a very sad movie
mm-hmm.
and you actually end up crying,
mm-hmm.
you got the same results. You got the same results.
You did?
Yes. That whether it was a negative or a positive, the endorphins fled your body,
mm-hmm.
flooded your body, and you still got that result of pain, boosting your pain management.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which I thought was very interesting.
That is interesting.
Not angry, but not depressing, mm-hmm. but sad. Like, mm-hmm. you know, just mm-hmm. Very soul-touching and mm-hmm. so forth. And they said, though, when things are neutral, like not a well-done documentary, like kind of boring.
Yeah.
No effect on your pain management.
Just, I can believe
just
that.
Just like flat effect everywhere. And it's interesting because we've always talked about that your negative emotions can make your pain worse.
I'll say.
And you know, but they were suggesting that if you watched a movie, because your brain likes to be entertained, whether it's a negative or a positive, but it likes to invoke an emotion, those endorphins fill your body and it can lessen the pain in your body. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was just fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know so many people who deal with chronic pain. I know for myself, I have issues of pain in my life. My knees hurt a lot. And so I deal with that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny with my knees, Doug will go, oh, we got to work on your knees, girlfriend. And I'm just like, do you not think I'm doing that? I'm working on my knees.
Yeah, because I don't do anything about yeah. it, right?
Well, and the problem with my knees and also my heels, for whatever reason, it's those first 100 steps
mm-hmm.
that I look so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I force myself mm-hmm. to stand straight, you know, move. But by the 100th step, everything is loosened up.
You're free.
I mean, I'm still in slight pain, but I can do it.
Right.
And I'm not blaming pain on anything except for that. That's 2 months I was doing Latin dancing.
Yeah.
And I denied myself that I was hurting my body.
Right.
Because I was pain-free before then,
mm-hmm.
and I was doing
Zumba
and other stuff on carpeting,
mm-hmm.
twisting my knees, and I'd feel a little pain. I'm going, well, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. And but I did. I never.
They
had
should
pain
have a.
Issues.
They should have a disclaimer.
Well, and it's funny because I went.
Don't
to,
do it on
that
carpeting.
Time I went to a class as well.
Oh yeah.
And a woman in there said, "God, you know, sometimes a Zumba really hurts my knees."
Mm.
And then I realized too that on some Zumbas you can buy these things that go on the, like taps for your shoes
mm-hmm.
that make your shoes slipperier.
I love that idea.
So that your knees don't get caught right. in the carpet.
Right.
So you go, oh, okay, I get it.
You had some idea of putting like little spinners on shoes.
Yes, I did. I did. So
1-800 invent help.
I truly believe in total healing for my knees. I totally.
I believe
until
it for
that
you.
Day comes, I will do the best to manage it.
Well, you know, Norman Cousins, you know, decades ago did that. I don't know if it was a study, but he had some kind of chronic illness, and he decided to just watch funny movies
yeah.
and actually laugh out loud, and found that by doing that, it lessened his pain and
yeah.
and also elevated his mood and helped with the healing process.
Yes.
You know,
and so we know that, and I think it's like people binge on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
I was. With Doug and his kids yesterday.
What was that word you used the other day, though? It wasn't binge.
I didn't use it. Normano used it, I think.
Oh, what was it?
I know. Did I, what did he say?
It was a, he said...
gorged.
Sorry, he didn't understand binge watching, but he called it gorge watching.
He gorge watched.
Yeah.
I just gorge watching.
I can't wait to gorge watch Game of Thrones.
Yes, because we can do that. We can watch Game of Thrones and gorge watch on it.
And I'm like, are you sure you don't mean binge watch? I don't know.
But gorge watch, same thing. I think if you look under the thesaurus, if you're under binge, it might say gorge. I don't know. So I was looking at Netflix, and holy cow, you could waste a year and binging on everything they have, content-wise, or more than that. Mm-hmm. And I think at the end of the year, you just might be happy. I don't know.
Because I wonder if
you didn't have to make money to pay your rent,
right.
And you were okay just saying...
You were okay just sitting on the couch all day long.
Or like maybe on your treadmill walking while you're watching, maybe. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. Or just...
That you got for $10,
the treadmill. Yeah, you got somebody who paid $800 for it.
Yeah.
You know, or a little trampoline. And that, you know, which I gave away also because of my knees.
I know.
That's the reason why I gave the Pilates machine away.
Yeah.
Is because I couldn't get down the floor comfortably. And then like, oh my God. Like my poor little knees. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to get healthier. I'm talking to you right now, knees. I'm talking to you right now. I believe. Until that happens, I will take care of them best I can.
That's right.
And so forth. So I just found that to be an interesting study. So yes. We know that emotional states are very important.
Well, last night I watched a comedy.
Yes.
The Boss, Unrated.
Unrated.
And I laughed out loud several times.
Oh, good.
I mean, it, in terms of language, it's pretty raunchy, hence the unrated, you know, part. But it was a lighthearted movie. It fit my criteria of under 90 minutes.
Yay.
Yeah. And it was visually fun. I liked that Kristen Bell. Uh-huh. She was cute in it. And I laughed out loud several times. So I want to give it on a scale of 5 Sherpa heads. I'm going to give it like 3.5 Sherpa heads.
I thought it would have been a 4 Sherpa hat.
4 Sherpa hats.
Well, I mean, I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. I am going to see it today, even though I need to study for my test today. I am going to watch it today.
Yeah.
Because I think it'd be fun to be elevated.
You should.
Yeah. Maybe during lunch I'll watch it or something like that.
Yeah.
But it clicked off every thing in your box, girlfriend.
Right, it did.
So why only 3?
Thank you.
It's 3 out of 4.
No, it's 3 out of 5. Good question.
Under 9 minutes, you laughed out loud.
Tick all the boxes. I think that there's just a part of it that feels manufactured.
Okay, interesting.
You know, I mean, the lot of the Saturday Night Live cast in it. You know, a lot of the groups and stuff, and yes, it is a formula. You know, I understand that. But when you can see it coming, you know, I mean, Peter Dinklage was in it as her love interest or a previous love interest. Now, that's cute, right?
Yeah.
Because she's a big, chunky girl and he's little. In the Game of Thrones, he's that little midget.
Oh, him. Okay.
Yeah.
I forgot who he was for a second, of course.
Yeah. Yes. So,
I find completely sexy.
Oh, yeah.
He's totally testosterone looking guy.
Yeah, totally.
Totally. It's like, whoa.
Yeah. Hollywood likes that too.
I had a very inappropriate comment there. Like, he can sit on my throne anytime. or we can play Game of Thrones together anytime. I don't know. I need to edit those things out of my head before they come out of my mouth.
They're just if
I could just edit them.
A little filter in your tongue.
Yeah, but it doesn't happen. I don't know what to tell you. That's your problem. You gave birth to me.
That's right. It's mama's fault.
It is. Somehow in my genes, I lost my filter.
It's always mama's fault.
Exactly. It is. And
I'm recommending it.
Yeah.
I'm just not recommending it wholeheartedly.
I understand, because sometimes you want it to be funny, light, and like a sweet message at the end.
Right.
Or just funny. Like when I saw, a couple weeks ago, I saw Date Night.
Yes.
And I told you, I thoroughly enjoyed this movie.
Right.
And at the end, it was sweet. Yeah. It wasn't about... a woman who had all the money in the world but got it through being a thief, you know, right, or whatever.
Right.
So it just had a sweet tone to it.
Right. I like sweet movies, too.
Yeah.
So now you saw a more recent movie.
Okay, so we're breaking the rules here, everybody, because we usually review a little older movies.
That's right.
But now I'm giving a Sherpa review for The Magnificent Seven, except that I couldn't effing... I went, because here's how it always goes. Doug drops me off with his credit card. I go in, I pay for the tickets, and for the life of me, I kept saying, the dirty 12, the dirty dozen.
Yeah, you did say that last night.
And I go, wait a minute, that's not it. The Magnificent 10. And then she goes, the Magnificent 7? I go, that's the one we're saying.
I knew it was a number in there.
Yeah, and I knew it was something, you know, something like that. And, so we got it, and we got our good seats, which in this one theater, we have to have our good seats because it's like the back row, but then there's nobody in front of you for about 10 feet, which is really awesome.
Yeah, nice leg room.
Yeah, it's perfect. And so I'm going to give it 4 Sherpa hats as well, only because it was rated PG-13. It must have been 100 people died in this movie, maybe. Mm-hmm. But there was no swearing. Because if it was swearing, it would have been a rated R. Mm-hmm. And it would have made less money.
No boobies.
No boobies.
A lot of carnage.
And a Jennifer Lawrence lookalike was the lead female.
Who is it?
I don't know her name. But I swear, there were times I thought, is this Jennifer Lawrence? Mm-hmm. Like, no, this is not Jennifer Lawrence. But to me, it looked like it could have been Jennifer Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Great acting all the way around. Mm-hmm. The camaraderie was perfect. Mm-hmm. There was lightness to it. Beautiful horses.
Aww.
You know. And I think at the end it says, you know, no horse was harmed during the making of this movie.
Thank God,
because a lot of horses fell over.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. Like, yeah. A horse was falling. And not from the sky, thank God. But
interesting, though.
Yeah. And
is it done, like, with CGI, then? How do they get those horses to fall if they don't hurt them?
They're not. Good question. I don't know. I mean, they're probably trained to fall a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then maybe you speed it up. I don't know how that all works out.
I don't
know
either.
But that's a good question. But literally, so many guns, so many violence, so many bullets.
How long was it? 2 hours?
I bet it was 2 hours long.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little too long.
Yeah, it wouldn't fit my criteria. But no. I might watch it if it came out.
Great acting. I mean, come on. Denzel Washington's always awesome. Ethan Hawke was fabulous. Mm-hmm. Pratt, what's his name?
Chris Pratt.
He's fabulous.
Yeah, he's just like coming into his own.
Vincent D'Onofrio, who I love.
Me too.
I've always loved him.
Me too.
He was great in it. And I love the fact that he's just turning into a character actor for movies.
Yeah.
Which is awesome because he was in Jurassic World with
I like
Pratt
that.
As well.
With Chris Pratt,
Chris Pratt as well. So it just was a good film. Can't beat it. A little longer than it needs to be.
And it was a remake of a Magnificent Seven, I think, from the 70s I don't even really know.
It's interesting though because
but it was from a Japanese movie called the Seven Samurai.
Oh,
I
interesting.
Believe.
What's interesting is that they had a lot of God talk in it, and mixing the bad stuff happens at a church where the bad guys walk into a church and take over the town, and. A lot of people talk about, you know, before killing, they would talk about God and, you know, make me righteous in this and all this stuff.
Same thing with The Revenant.
Yes.
I felt that it had a lot of that.
And so
that talk that was just like crazy talk.
Crazy talk. And you're like, I don't get it all.
May God forgive you as I kill you.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. It was really weird. Yeah.
And then I think to myself, I'm grateful I live in this time at this moment because... realistically, I don't know how I would have survived when everybody just has a gun.
Right.
And at any given moment, if they take something from you or whatever, you have the right to kill somebody or whatever.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. So if you don't want to see... But the nice thing about The Magnificent Seven, there wasn't hardly any blood. I mean, literally,
you saw people die, but no blood.
Everybody died, but very minimal blood. It
got
was almost like you got shot and then like a little bit of a... like almost like your pen leaked. Yeah. You know, that kind of blood.
And then you saw them just on the ground.
Yeah. And they, and sometimes they had a pleasant look on their face, like, I died and now I'm in heaven. I fought.
Hence PG-13.
Yes. I fought the good battle. you know, in this lifetime, you can decide how you live and how you die.
Yeah. Well, speaking of PG-13, I saw a TV-14 rating a new fall show.
Oh, yeah.
The Exorcist.
Oh.
And it was scary.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was on Fox. Gina Davis. I just saw the first one because of the new fall season. And it was scary. It had some real...
Right.
And I'll see it next week. I'm curious to see where they're going to go with
this. I saw it with you.
Yes, you did.
I was supposed to be studying.
Yes.
Which I was not. And it scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
To the point...
I saw you hold your hands over your eyes.
Like, which is interesting because it actually made me have devil dreams, demon dreams.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I didn't like that.
No.
And so I may have, it was scary. And the truth about being scared is something like having a comedy or seeing a good drama, it does invoke emotion and your body doesn't feel the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just, it's like, everything's heightened in you, mm-hmm. you know? It's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure I'm going to watch it again. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Because of my dreams.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
But I certainly thought it was great.
Well, then, and I also saw Designated Survivor, the Kiefer Sutherland thing.
Yeah.
Where he becomes the president of the United States because everybody's in the Capitol building in a big meeting or something, and he was right. not invited or something because he was going to get fired.
Right.
But he wasn't. And so he's the next guy in line. And so he becomes POTUS, President of the United States, after this big act of terrorism. And it looks good.
Yeah, it I cannot believe that just at this moment did I connect POTUS with President of the United States.
No, you didn't.
I did.
When you like, we were watching Veep the other day, and they were saying Veep POTUS.
Yeah.
You didn't get that either?
I'm like, I knew what it meant. I knew what it meant.
Oh.
President of the United States.
Right.
But I didn't realize it was an abbreviation for President of the United
States.
I thought it was Greek or something.
No.
I know. I feel like a fool. That's okay. I forgive myself.
I forgive you too.
Yeah. I mean, I literally just thought it was Greek or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, Greek for President of the United States. Now I get it.
POTUS.
President of the United States. I'm like, for heaven's sakes.
Where's POTUS at? Oh, he's in the bathroom.
Yeah. Exactly.
Taking a...
He's the POTUS.
Taking a patootie. POTUS. I don't know.
The
something's there.
POTUS poop. The POTUS throne.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yep. All right, girlfriend, ready for a little Elliot's Corner?
Yeah, but I wanted to say one more thing.
Oh, sure.
I wanted to say one thing about The Voice.
Okay, go for it.
That I watched this week, new season and stuff like that. And one of the singers, male, sang an Adele song, mm-hmm. which I didn't know was an Adele song.
Right.
And but you said it, and then we looked it up on YouTube and stuff, and now I'm like totally fascinated.
Adele. Well, it's funny because 2 years ago...
Am I a little late to the party, the Adele party?
No, you are a little bit late to the party. What's interesting is that 2 years ago for Christmas, I think Dad gave me that CD for Christmas.
Right.
I hadn't even taken it out of the package yet.
No.
It's just for timing-wise.
Right,
really.
Right. And we were like, this whole week, we just like...
Listening to it over and over again. Yes.
So I am now a designated Adele fan.
Officially an Adele fan.
Yes.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Welcome to the party.
And let's talk about Elliot's Corner now.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner.
Well, here we are at Elliot's Corner. And it's going to be a short Elliot's Corner.
Yes.
We talked a lot about, we don't have a lot of time left. And also, too, I don't know really what to say about my dog, except that he's officially become a princess.
Yes. We always knew he was kind of like, well, the vet always called him a drama queen.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, he's not. Don't say that. But lately he's been only eating, he actually throws up dog food.
For 2 days straight, he would throw up his dog food. And we had gotten him Dynavites And we had gotten, and I remember last week or 2 weeks ago, I said, I think he likes his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He eats it, you know, he doesn't, you know, enjoys it. And now, like, for 2 or 3 days straight, he just immediately threw up his dog food.
Right.
Threw the Dynavites, threw up this omega-3 supplement. I'm like, oh, man. And so we've chosen to go with real food.
Yeah. He'll eat real food.
And our real food, like meat, yes, plus a little bit of that fresh food.
Fresh pet.
Fresh pet food, mm-hmm, that comes in a tube.
Mm-hmm.
That looks very interesting. And
looks like Braunschweiger.
Yeah.
Anybody knows what that is.
Exactly what I, you know, exactly what it looks like. Braunschweiger. That's, mm-hmm, exactly what it is. I'm not sure what Braunschweiger is, except,
well, when we were food. When we were little kids, my mom could, our parents could afford, you know, Braunschweiger. And she sent us off to Catholic school. And the Braunschweiger would sit in our lockers all day long, God, you know, getting to 100, 110 degrees. And, oh, man, by the time lunchtime came around.
Did you guys eat your Braunschweiger?
Oh, hell yeah.
Because you were hungry.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And also, you better not bring it home.
Well, no, you would have thrown it away.
Yeah.
But maybe you wouldn't have, because the nuns would have said, hey.
But there were starving children in China.
Away Braunschweiger every day.
Yeah. The nuns would have, they would have ratted on me.
Totally. Totally. Now they would have gone, oh, Christine, here's a dollar. Go buy yourself lunch.
They would have.
Exactly.
Well, I noticed that I was listening to the radio, and our local, I don't know, some kind of charity, though, supports children who, because I guess if they can't, you know, they feed them during school time.
Right.
But there are children who can't afford, or don't get fed during the weekends.
Right.
And so they have this program called, it sounds like Body Bags, but it's Buddy Bags.
Right.
And so, and we fund that, and it funds children.
How do you know about this?
I heard it on the radio.
That's so weird, because when I was at ACE 2 weeks ago, I was literally right behind the woman that was started it.
No.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because she was buying these racks, and she's like, oh, yeah, I'm head of Buddy Bags, and we provide food for kids during the weekend.
During the weekends. I can't afford
get
to eat during the weekends.
Right.
I thought, wow, that's amazing.
Right. I think it's lovely if there's a place like that for people.
I do, too.
You know? I also feel it's sad that parents can't afford to feed their kids. On the weekends? What's going on here?
It's more than that, I'm sure.
I know
sure.
it is.
You know
100%.
What I mean? Yeah.
And so you have to take the judgment out of it, because the truth is, if there's a need there, we just got to take care of the need.
Yeah.
And food's like one of those bottom needs.
Yes.
Just have to be taken care of somehow, some way.
Right.
You know. And so forth.
So I'm now a supporter of Buddy Bags.
Awesome. Good for you.
Yeah.
I don't know what I've learned about from Elliot this week, except that he's lucky to have us as parents.
Yes.
So I'm going to say this.
Yes.
This week, if you feel like you've been, you know, you've learned something from your parents, thank them. Go ahead, thank your parents. Yeah. Even if it's like, hey, I learned what not to do.
That was my message.
So, thank them either way, because, like, hey, you guys showed me some kind of example. Whether it was a great example to follow or one not to follow.
Right, exactly.
And I learned from you, and I say thank you. That's what I'm going to say this week for Elliot's Corner.
Mm-hmm.
Thank your parents. Either way, it's all cool.
I agree.
You ready for a little pillar talk?
100%.
Pillow talk. Pillow talk. Well, here we are at Pillar Talk, and our little Doris Day doing her little singing. Woohoo! Woohoo! And we're talking today about clearing the clutter.
Right.
And wherever this leads us, because
it's a journey.
Right, and we have the book, The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation by Decluttering Your Life.
Amazon, number one bestseller. Please buy it.
And in our book, we have it in different situations. We have, you can clear the physical clutter, because everything has energy. And if you work in a cluttered environment, or you live in a cluttered environment, you tend to feel cluttered inside, and you have cluttered results.
And you have cluttered results. You make cluttered decisions.
Yes.
Everything is affected by clutter. It
and
really is.
Once you get that your focus is the main reason why you succeed at anything you do.
Right. You're like, wait a minute.
If your focus is spread out, and that is through your clutter, then you get cluttered results.
Right.
And the key is to really hone in on your focus. We've learned now that very few of us, except like during exercise, can multitask. And, you know, if you're looking at your desk and you're working and you've got clutter all over your desk, take a minute to clear it off.
Absolutely.
Everything. We talked about in our book, for sleeping. Sleepaway at the top.
Of the morning.
Of the morning. So that you could, you know, when you go to bed, declutter your bedroom.
Right. Don't just flop down.
Yes.
You know, change into your, or get naked.
Get naked, yeah. However you sleep.
Brush your teeth. Do yes. what you need to do. Take that extra 5 or 10 minutes.
And that's all it truly is.
Yeah.
Because you'll have a better night's sleep.
Right.
You may not wake up. You may, in the middle of the night. You know, sometimes if we go to bed with our clothes on or, mm-hmm. you know, paperwork next to us.
Right.
2 hours later, we wake up because right. we haven't really said goodnight to the night.
Well, I can remember this one client. He was going through some kind of legal issue, some lawsuit or something. And he was having trouble sleeping. But
yeah.
he had all of his legal stuff in his bedroom right. next to his nightstand.
Hello.
I'm like, hello. Yeah. yeah. Reminder.
And I remember when I was struggling, just staying focused, working on our business. And I was looking around. I'm like, oh my God, I have this pile of quote unquote bill work, mm-hmm. you know, just statements, bills, stuff right. I had to deal with, you know, on a weekly basis.
Right.
And I'm like, wait a minute, this is, it's just right here as a reminder that needs to get done. This right. needs to get done.
Right.
But not now. I'm doing this right now. Mm-hmm. I had to remove it from my environment.
Right.
So that I could focus on what needed to get done. Everything around you has energy. And it's difficult because you've been saying lately that people are so busy or have created space to hold their things they want to store. But they haven't created space for the things they use on a daily basis.
Yes.
So the things they use on a daily basis or a weekly basis is just out everywhere.
I know.
And how do you stop that?
Yeah. That's my biggest thing because
yeah.
I have a friend who knows how to do that.
Right.
Who actually puts the things that she uses on a daily basis, has places to store that.
Right.
When it's not in use. But for me, I have my stuff stored. And so the things that I use on a daily basis don't get into that place.
Right.
They stay out. Hence, sure. everything feels cluttered.
Everything feels cluttered.
Yeah. And I'm really, Julie, I am so into simplifying my life. You can attest to this. I want nothing.
Right.
I no longer want, I've gone through I have a little jewelry drawer.
Yeah.
And I keep wanting to simplify it. And I've gone through it 3, 4, 5 times, getting rid of some stuff. But I heard a while ago that Jamie Lee Curtis decided to simplify her life, and she just got rid of everything but
right.
like 2 black dresses,
right?
You know, 3 pairs of jeans, and you know, I mean, just like went
right,
through, just kept 1 pair of earrings. As you know, she keeps her hair short. You know,
right?
I mean, there's something that is very attractive to me about that right now at this point in my life.
Yeah.
I want nothing.
It's interesting because I understand that. And yet when we were cleaning out the garage, because mm-hmm. we have a garage and 2 cars can fit into it, but we wanted our bigger car fitting into the side of the garage. So we had to do a little clearing. That was a goal.
Mm-hmm.
We got it done. kind of funny.
We worked on it every day last week.
What was funny is that the last day when we were
yeah.
getting things ready for...
Because it looked like it had expanded by the last day.
And it didn't. It just spread it out.
Right.
you just gave up. You said...
You know what I called it? Soul murdering.
Yes. Well, and I remember you went inside. You're like, well, you know, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick. I'll be back in a little bit. I'm like, okay. Dad and I'll continue working. And I like come in and go, hey, are they okay? Oh, yeah. I'm just watching TV.
I just couldn't go back out there.
I'm like, are you going to come back out here? Not really. I'm like, that's fine. We're getting this done anyway.
Yeah, I'm watching Property Brothers.
Yeah, I just couldn't take 1 more ounce of it.
Yeah.
And so we got it done.
You know what, though? It wasn't you. It was Dad.
I know.
It was. It was just like you and I, when we were out there, it was like boom, 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 boom. We didn't think about it.
Right.
Norm like agonizes.
And
I just couldn't do it.
And I just kept saying, Dad, if you want to keep it just not here. It goes in the storage unit. That's
right.
why we bought the storage unit for now. Right. Which I know we hate the idea
I
of having a storage unit.
Can't talk about it.
Can't talk about it.
Can't talk about it.
Because we've had years where we've had no storage unit.
Right.
And then years where you have it. Because once you have it, it's like,
hard to get rid of it.
Yes.
And especially ours is we got the extra, there was only 1 out of these
yeah.
300
well, and
that was extra large.
It is part of a bigger plan. The storage unit.
Yes, I guess so.
It is part of yes. the bigger plan. So we're okay with it for now. But
well,
could
we
be
had
six,
this.
Seven
we
months
we had
from now.
Seen somebody at this storage unit have a weekend garage sales.
Yes,
at their storage unit.
Awesome.
And once we got our stuff moved in, we found out that the city no longer allowed that.
Yeah, which I think is
BS. Yeah.
Total
but
BS.
Oops.
Oops. Really?
Didn't do our research.
Yeah. No kidding. That's okay. We're good for it now. So, but anyway, we talked about in our Clutterfly book the different areas. You can have emotional clutter. You know, there's stories in your life that you keep retelling yourself in a way that really gives you a negative response.
Right. You'd like, even if you haven't forgiven somebody.
Work, you know, we talk about the steps to work on that. You know, you have behavioral clutter. You have behaviors that are not for you, but against you.
Yeah.
For you, for your body, or, right. You know, or against you for your body, against you for your business.
Right.
Things like that. They're time to get rid of the clutter. It's, you know, that you can't put new wine in old skin.
That's absolutely so right. And you can't put baby in a corner.
Exactly. And this is a good time to look at this stuff because
It is a good time.
You're only like 3.5 months away from the new year.
Yes.
And at that new year, there's that like awesome energy to like, I'm going to kick it into gear this year and just kick ass and take over. And if you haven't ended the previous year, you still got that baggage from last year.
Yeah.
So we're going to end this year, girlfriend, end this year on a high note.
Simplify.
Clear on the clutter. The minimalist challenge will be completed.
Yeah. Instead of Semperfy, it's Simplify.
And my goal is for you that you're going to sell enough stuff from the house to pay for the carpet that you bought.
Oh, yes. Yes. Thank you.
That's my goal for you.
Oh, that's, I appreciate that.
Yeah. What other parts? Is there anything else that we had that can be cluttered in your life?
Well, there's physical clutter, emotional, behavioral. I don't know.
Habitual. Yeah, I don't know either. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's more. Read the book, Joe.
But it's energetic clutter.
Yes.
And that
really
can show
true.
Up in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
And keeping your energy clear and clean and focused makes your life completely better.
And there's a lot of ways to do that.
Yeah.
Meditate.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well, we talked about too that through meditation, hypnosis, visualization, anything
yes.
you're doing,
anything you
gets
do
amped up
is boosted.
It's boosted.
You can boost anything you do, and that's going to be the focus of our business.
Right. And you can also have relationship clutter as well.
I'll say
there are times in our lives where we hang on to an old relationship that doesn't need to be hung on to, or it's done in a way that could be upped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could be better,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna diss on Tony Robbins, which is not like me, because you know
I love him,
right?
Yeah.
You know, so in his one movie, I'm Not Your Guru, he makes this woman break up with this guy
mm-hmm.
that she's dated for like 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. something like that. And the whole point is, she's not really in love, like juicy in love, and it's like not good for either one of them to be in this position,
mm-hmm.
even though she doesn't want to hurt his feelings. And he's like, you're hurting his feelings because you're staying with them, because you could be letting him free to find his person.
Mm-hmm.
And yada, yada, yada. I'm not sure I believe in all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably perfect for her,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I think that on long-term relationships, there are moments when it feels really juicy and then moments where it feels more comfortable. And moments when it feels like I need to boost this up a little bit. We're all getting, you know, because your focus is
mm-hmm.
on other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're together, and maybe you can comment, because you've been together with Dad for a while. Has it been juicy 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, or 7 days a week, or more like 5 days a week and 2 days a week?
5 days a year?
5 days a year. You know, I don't know. Like, I look at my relationship with Doug, and I think it works fine. But I'm certainly not in his life 24/7,
mm-mm,
you know, and mm-mm. I don't want to be. And if I did, I don't know what it would look like.
No.
I don't know. So,
crazy.
So evaluate relationships, honestly, for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if there are things that need to be discussed, discuss them. Or if they need to be evaluated, evaluate them. And then mm-hmm. go, okay, can this be amped up a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
Am I holding back something? Are there grievances?
Mm-hmm.
You know, take a look.
And
I think that's the biggest one, Jules, you're talking about. I mean, I understand the relationship clutter, but I think the physical clutter and also emotional clutter is so important. And things like forgiveness and things like, you know, coming to this idea that, you know, you're okay. Your past is done and it doesn't hold. Do you know what I mean?
I think mostly. So we talk about, I don't know, we got to go in a couple minutes, but we should talk about this more next week about your past, creating a positive past for you.
Right.
Because it is a story you tell yourself. Your past can literally be the clutter that keeps you behind.
Yes.
Except that you can define your past in a way that it helps propel you, not keeps you back. And everybody has a past. No matter what you've done, what kind of hurts you've had, what kind of hurts you have done to other people, disappointments you've had, there is a way to come clean with it so that you go, wait a minute, this is a time for rebirthing. Mm-hmm. Everything that's happened has happened for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's really what you tell yourself. But if your past is lingering and holding you back, saying you're a loser, saying you're never going to succeed, oh, not this again, oh, I'm going to be disappointed again, this is going to happen again.
Do that a little bit.
I will go back to the saying that you said. We don't know who read it, said it, but the past is a dream.
Yeah,
your future is
a vision.
A vision, but
today well lived makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope.
And all we have is this moment.
Yes.
So, regardless of what you think the past is. And I bet if you really sat down and looked at your past with a coach, you would go, holy cow, I had a lot more better moments than I had bad moments. Mm-hmm. But it's just my focus that makes me feel so bad about my past.
Mm-hmm. That, you know, it really is important to heal that and to keep healing it and to keep working. And so, listen, some people are better at it than others. And, and it could be childhood.
It could be. Stuff, I remember my uncle said, years and years and years ago, he said, guilt is a useless emotion.
Right.
And initially when I heard that, I'm like, well, that's not necessarily true. Guilt makes you feel remorse. And but the truth is, guilt can really F you up.
Yeah.
You know, forgiveness is a big word. And forgiveness is to others and to yourself.
Right.
And once you claim that you have forgiven yourself, you got to move on.
Right.
Because there's no point in forgiveness if you're not moving on.
Right.
The idea that I'm going to forgive you, but I won't forget, that's kind of a half-assed forgiveness.
Yeah, that's kind of a coward's way.
You never forget, but you forget, you remember in a sweeter way.
Right.
And you can do that.
Right.
All right, everyone. I want to say thank you for listening to Life with the Girlfriends.
Buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect.
Yes.
Tweak your way to total transformation. Website,
Christine, Marie, and Julie.
.com.
I for a second I'm like, what website today?
I know there's like so many of them.
Yes. And November 1st we're starting the Minimalist Challenge for everybody.
Gonna
do it
again. It's gonna be good. We'll talk about this next week a little bit more,
and let's get ready. And how's the show, girlfriend?
Simplify. You know what, Jules, as always, it was great.
Always is with you, and it was great.